I'm going to finish Psalm 8 tonight, Lord willing. I'll read the full psalm again. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Psalm 8, 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Well, you think about what's going on in the world, you know, for many years now, this, you know, climate change, global warming. That's what it was first. And I think it's humorous because when it gets cold, it's climate change. And when it's hot, it's global warming. Now, I don't know what cows do, and I don't know how much effect they've had on you know, the ozone. And I don't know. I know I've been to China. I know I've been to the Philippines and Mexico and Venezuela and a lot of these countries that are just horrendously polluting the world. And I know the Paris climate deal and all that is just to make America pay for the world to do nothing. And it's going to cost jobs. I get that. I understand what they're doing. They've been trying to do it to America for a long time. And that is to bring us all down to where there is no superpower, maybe other than China. Although, I don't know. I mean, they're going to have a lot of people. I even wonder about COVID. You know, you look at COVID and the how it's decimated the elderly, and how, you know, people like the New York governor sent those elderly that were in nursing homes with COVID back in the nursing homes. I mean, what is that? How can you say, I knew how bad it was, and the president should have done more, and you're making a faux pas like that? Come on, something's not right. And how come they don't call him out? It's, oh, well, they did. No, it should be done every day until they run him out of office. That type of thinking to me. But let's go on. I want you to think about this. He said, when you look at what God created, he put man over that. He gave man authority over the animals and the creation, God's creation. We're not like the animals. A pig doesn't have the same rights as a man. A spotted owl shouldn't take the jobs of hardworking people. And just because you got some caterpillar walking across the ground that they now have said, oh, you know, that thing, it's going to be extinct and then the whole system's going to crumble. Well, God can hold things all together like he has for so long. That's the problem. The problem is they look at our ecology and they go, well, everything is connected together. And if this part is broken right here, the whole thing's just going to implode. No, it's not. Now, look, I don't like littering. I despise littering. I'm behind somebody and they're throwing something out the window. I just want to go up and just, you know, give them a ticket. I don't like littering. I think you ought to take care of God's creation. I do believe that. But I don't believe you should go to an extreme and make man a lesser being because you believe we're all like the apes. You know, we came from the monkeys, and that's why, you know, you got people acting like a bunch of lunatics. God created man and gave man dominion over his creation. That's the starting point for tonight's message. So when we look at verse 2, let's go ahead and go into verse 2. We looked at verse 1 this morning. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. Now that should ring a bell to you because it's Matthew 21 along with a couple other places. Hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger? Look at Matthew 21 verse 15. This is when you compare the Old Testament with the New, there's a reason why the words aren't always the same. Sometimes the words are defined when a word is used in the Old Testament and then another one in the New Testament, like glad tidings and gospel. You know, what is the gospel? It's glad tidings because the Bible defines itself. And sometimes God will use the Old and the New Testament. Well, here you have in here, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. In Matthew 21, verse 15. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? So when you look at what he says in the New Testament, thou hast perfected praise, there's something about children and the way they praise God. You know, you have to have faith as a child. You know why you should have faith as a child? Because a child believes, sometimes without questioning. We need to be more like that with God. Listen, it's okay to question God on some things, but you ought to grow up. You know what I mean? In other words, I'm not being mean. I'm not being condescending. I'm saying, look, it's okay to question God, but if you've been saved for 40 years and that's all you're doing, there's something wrong with you, not with God. I hope I'm maturing in Christ. I hope that I'm getting closer to Him and understanding Him more, and I don't question Him so much. I can think of things right now that I thought, man, they're never going to work out. And I watch them work out. And you know what I ought to do? I ought to apologize to God for having that lack of faith, for believing that it was too much for Him and He couldn't work out that particular situation, even though I've seen Him work out situation after situation after situation. I ought to look at those things and learn from them, but many times what we do is we forget. We have a short memory when it comes to the blessings of God. We have a short memory when it comes to the thing, well, you know, you shouldn't even have been saved, really. Think about it. I look at what I was at 20 years old. I'm out there in the world. I'm living on Okaloosa Island. I'm just a miserable part of His creation. And yet He saved my soul. If I can just fathom that and understand that and remember that and think on that, think on these things, think on the fact that He saved my soul and redeemed me, made me a new creature in Christ Jesus, actually moved into my heart. I do a lot better to keep thinking about that. Something comes up. I think, man, it's not going to work out. Now, I don't think that way very often. There's a few areas where I struggle. Some has to do with, you know, our children. It ain't ever going to work out. And I'm under, you know, you just doubt God in those things. Because why? Well, because I can't control it. The things we can't control, we start thinking, well, wait a minute. You know, I'm at God's mercy here. You know, by the way, it's a good place to be. But we don't want to be. We want to hold on. We want to just control, and we want it to go our way and our timing. And we can't do that. We can't do that. Can you imagine what these... Look at the verse. I want you to see it in 15 again. This is Matthew 21. Look at the wording. When the chief priests and scribes saw the what? When they saw the wonderful things He did. It isn't they saw the bad things or just the okay things. They saw the wonderful things He did, and yet they questioned Him. That doesn't just apply to scribes and Pharisees 2,000 years ago. Have you seen the wonderful things He's done? Look at God's creation. Now, I know it's cold here in Florida, and oh man, the world's coming to an end, and we got the big freeze coming. Oh no, that was the 1960s. You remember the big freeze, right? You have global warming. Oh, it's on Time magazine. I have the covers of Time magazine about the big freeze. Then we had global warming, and now we got climate change. Listen, climate change, man, there's nothing you can do. You can't argue about climate change. Tomorrow, it might get to be 70 degrees out here. Today it's cold, tomorrow it's warm, and man, that is all due to climate change. You know why climate change is a reality? Because it never stays the same. And you know, you can bilk $1 billion out of the government and out of our coffers for that very reason. I wonder what $1.9 trillion is going to bring to America. You think we'll be, you know, paying foreign countries a lot of money? Man, I can't even imagine what's in those bills. And yet, it's going to happen. You know what happens when you keep printing money, don't you? It's called hyperinflation. And it's going to happen. Happens in every country. The reason it doesn't happen in America so much is because everything's tied to the dollar. You know what happens when you print money? Countries like China say, we're not going to be attached to the dollar anymore. Once that happens, Katie, bar the door. Now, I'm not a prophet, but I am an accountant. Not a very good one these days, but I still can say I'm a retired CPA. Go back to Psalm 8. Let's look at verse 3. Psalm 8. In verse 3, it talks about the exalted portion of God's creation. It talks about thy heavens and the moon and the stars. It talks about the work of God in creating. It says, the work of thy fingers which thou hast ordained. And then it starts talking about the consideration of man's lowliness. The psalmist questions, what is man? What is the son of man? The psalmist's confession, that thou art mindful of him, and that thou visitest him. He's made a little lower than the angels, the Bible says. Yet God elevated man, crowned him with glory and honor. He was given dominion over the works of thy hands, put all things under his feet. How ought we to behave because of that? How ought we to consider what God has done for us? Just think about it for a while. When you go home tonight, think about the goodness and the greatness of God. Think about that. Don't get all caught up in thinking, well, you know, the preacher said that we're going to have hyperinflation and everything's going to go and it's just going to be a mess and everything's just going to go to hell in a handbasket. Don't dwell on that. Dwell on the goodness of God. I don't tell you those things to scare you. I have no fear. I just don't. I'm not going to get all caught up in worrying about. Listen, I thought for all these years with them printing money that it was going to implode sooner or later. And I've been saying it for 20 years. Guess what? Well, it's a balloon. And they keep going like this, and I keep thinking, it's going to pop. It's going to pop. You ever blow one up at a party, and then you're going to, it's going to pop. It's going to pop. And then it finally pops. Still scares you because you're not ready for it. What I'm saying is that's what they're doing with this thing. So just be ready for it, you know, but don't dwell on it. Don't go, oh, no, trust God. You know what the solution, people said, well, what do you do? They wrote me a question the other day, and somebody did. And they say, what do you tell people? I didn't answer them because I just didn't have time to go into it. What do you tell people to do to prepare for the coming economic collapse? I think that's pretty much exact question. I didn't answer him. I was going to say, draw nigh unto him and he'll draw nigh unto you. That's it. What's my solution for people that go in the tribulation period? They don't get saved, they go in the tribulation. Draw nigh unto God. Oh, don't you think they ought to learn how to shoot? Draw nigh unto God. Don't you think we ought to collect a bunch of food? Draw nigh unto God, and if God says go collect food, go collect food. I haven't. I mean, we got a freezer full. We got a refrigerator full. We got cabinets that got food in them. You know, we could probably, if we push came to shove and we had electricity, I believe we could live for a month minimum on what we've got in the freezer and refrigerator and the cabinets. But it's not because we're collecting dehydrated food. And if you do, that's fine. But don't think that you're more spiritual because you collect dehydrated food than somebody that doesn't. Somebody that doesn't might be closer to God and say, God, I, I, I'm looking for, you know, here we are on Valparaiso Boulevard, and you got a deer, and he's going to come across the road, and bam, somebody's going to hit him and drive off, and we're going to go drag him out, call Hollett, and say, hey, come skin our deer. Or I'm going to walk by the water or get out in my kayak, and these fish are going to jump in my kayak, and I'm going to call, you know, Robert up and say, hey, Robert, need you to skin these fish for me. You don't think God can do that, right? Sure He can. And by the way, think about that. We're by the water. Do you think you're going to starve if you can, if you got these guys around? I mean, you're going to have to feed a lot more people than you've been feeding, but, and that mystery meat, I don't think anybody's going to complain anymore. Judy, we got some leftovers from my birthday, and Judy said, I don't know, but that mystery meat's pretty good. I said, was it mystery meat? I don't remember. She said, yeah. Don't know what it is, she said. It was good, whatever it was. I like that mystery meat. Listen, we need some good, you know, listen, God prepares people for the future. So, you know, hey, we need a good shot. Need a good fisherman. God can use that. Just don't depend on it. That's all. Just don't think that, wow, you know, if we didn't have them around, we're gonna starve. God can have manna come out of heaven. He can do it again. He can have the quails come over and drop down so that the people can eat. Millions of people in the nation of Israel. You say, oh, that's the Old Testament. We serve a different God. No, we do not. We serve the same God. It's just that we don't need God to do that because God does it in a lot of other ways. But I promise you this, push come to shove, if God wants to drop the quail out of the sky, He can do it again. It's just up to Him. It's not for us to determine that. And it's not for us to go, well, man, rainy days are coming. I better stock up. Go ahead and stock up. I'm not telling you not to. I'm just saying when you stock up, you ask God to bless your efforts and your thoughts and your mindset and everything else. Do not think that your cupboard is your salvation. It's not. All right. Go back to Psalm 8, verse 4 says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? When you look at the incarnation of Christ, there are several times at the beginning, the middle, and the end of Christ's ministry where it mentions the visitation of God with his people. We're going to go to Luke chapter 1 and then Luke 7 and Luke 19. And we're going to see these references to God's visitation to man. Luke 1 talks about the Lord God of Israel hath visited and redeemed his people. Luke 1:67. And his father Zacharias, that's John the Baptist's father, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Now, remember, this is before John the Baptist is born, I believe, and it's before Jesus was born. So he's saying this, the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, because he's talking about the prophecy. He isn't saying it's already done, because it wasn't. He is prophesying. And in the prophecy, he's saying this is what's going to happen. He's visited his people. He's redeemed them. He's redeemed us. Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. You are a redeemed people if you're saved. Now let's look at verse 78. The day spring on high hath visited us. Look at verse 78. Through the tender mercy of God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to do what? To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's why Christ became a man. To give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death. To guide our feet in the way of peace. What a great God. I mean, I can't get over 40 years later in the same city getting saved here. I just can't get over it. I don't know what apartment it was. There I was in that one-bedroom apartment, sleeping on the couch, and they said one day, hey, I think Doug's ready, and they led me the Lord, and man, I got a dose. Why? Because Jesus moved in. I got that Bible under my arm. I was the cussing. I mean, I had a filthy mouth. And I went into work that next day, and all of a sudden, man, I'm telling everybody about Jesus. You know, you don't have to get rid of friends that are not good for you. They get rid of you if you do it right. Man, they just, it was like, man, I don't want nothing. You're a lunatic, man. And I was. I wish I'd have had a little more wisdom early on. I wish I'd had a lot more grace and letting people grow in grace. But there are people that got saved that I thought would never get saved. I remember one of them called me up and said, hey, this is so-and-so, I'm saved now. I said, what? And he came to Alabama and visited with us. I was like, you couldn't get saved. And I still can't get over that. I mean, there were people that I thought were the devil incarnate. And God can save them. And you better not think that you're so highfalutin either that, oh, well, you know, I was worthy of being saved. I wasn't as bad as them, but I was bad enough to deserve to go to hell. Now look at chapter 7 of Luke. Here's the in the midst of Christ's ministry that he visited them. Luke 7, look at verse 16. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God had visited his people. There's in the midst of his ministry. So at the beginning, in the middle, now let's look at the end in Luke 19. Toward the end of Christ's ministry, they knew the time of their visitation. Luke 19:33. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loosed ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And I wrote, man, I changed that verse. Look at verse 43. Luke 19, 43. I wonder, oh, I know what I did. When I was copying and pasting it, I pasted the wrong one and hit undo a couple of times, and it went all the way back and undid the verse. Luke 19, verse 43. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. He said, you didn't know the time of thy visitation. You know, isn't that sad that the nation of Israel did not know that the Savior, the Messiah, had come down and visited them? The world today doesn't know. The world today doesn't know what Jesus Christ did. They don't know who He is. It's a byword. It's a cuss word. It's used in a derogatory fashion. What a shame that that's the way it is. But that's society in general. I was there. I remember, man, it was a long time ago, but I remember. And I've been around and I've heard it and I know it's there. And boy, I pray for people when somebody says something, you know, sometimes I'll say something back. But if I can't say something back, I'll say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they say. You don't have to be belligerent. I mean, people that say things, they don't always know what they're saying. I get around some of these workers over here, and every now and then, you know, they'll you know, put their little toe in the water and see what the preacher can take. Some of them do that. You know what I do? So I just, man, I act like, hey, I don't even know what they're saying. I just keep talking, and I'll say something about Jesus, or I'll witness to them, or I'll give them my testimony and tell them, look, I came from this, and then I was this, and now I'm, look what God's done. You don't have to be offended when people say things. Listen, you don't have to defend God either. If God wants to slap somebody down, He can do it without your help. Now, I will tell you this. I've been to a couple of college football games, and somebody will get around me and GD this and GD that and GD. And I'll wait, and I'll pray, and I'll say, Lord, don't let him do it again. And he'll do it again. I'll turn around and say, look, I got my mom here, and I don't need you to hear you cussing my God. The whole place just goes, you want to silence? Listen, never mind. You want to silence a crowd around you? Just do that. I've done it 3 times because that's about, I mean, when you're sitting, listen, I paid for my ticket. I don't have to sit there and listen to that. He's got no more right to cuss my God than I have to cuss his wife or whatever. So don't take me to a football game if you don't want to be embarrassed. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Here's the confirmation of the visitation. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, verse 5. For the unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Remember, that's where we're at in Psalm 8. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now, look at this, but now we see not yet all things put under him. Now it's talking about Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Did he die just for the elect? No, he died for every man. This isn't some Calvinistic mumbo jumbo. You know, if you ever get to a Calvinist, you know what you ought to ask him? Say, well, do you believe that God created people to go to hell? They got a tough time with that. Well, no, I don't believe that. Well, I don't understand. Some people are elect at birth and some are not elect at birth, and the non-elect are birthed to go to hell. What do you do with that? Listen, he died. He tasted death for every man. But he says Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Can you imagine? Here we are as mere human beings. We know, in general, who and what we are. We struggle with this body of flesh, that this sinful flesh. Jesus never sinned, but you know that he took upon himself that same form as us. In fact, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And let's see what it says about Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That ought to humble all of us. You see, that's the time of visitation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men, and yet he never sinned. Look at verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's who we serve. But he became a man and humbled himself, became a servant, took upon himself the form of humanity, made lower than the angels. That's a God that is unlike any other being that ever was or ever will be. We are generally selfish. self-centered. I mean, at least to some extent. I mean, we watch out for number one. Remember who number one is in that context. It's you, it's me. We watch out for ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that, but as long as we're honest with ourselves. You can't think, well, you know what, I always put everybody before myself. You ought to try. And some of you do accomplish that. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. Don't boast in it. Don't bask in it. But thankfully, some, and women are generally better than the men, except if it's a whole woman department of people working together. In other words, women are generally better than men, but not when you get them all together. I know, I've worked with them. It can be tough. It can be tough. I know because I know others that work in those departments, and it can be tough. Why? Because sometimes it's because they've had to prove themselves in a man's world. I get that. I'm not saying they're all bad people. I'm just saying it's an unfair world. Sometimes they feel like they've got to do things that they wouldn't normally do. I get that. But the point is, listen, we are all sinful beings. Jesus Christ took upon himself the form of a servant. Jesus Christ became a man. Jesus Christ humbled himself. Jesus Christ let men pluck his beard out and spit on him and mock him and then ultimately put him on a cross. Now, you know, the Bible says he laid down his life. No man took it from him. I get that, but still people put him on a cross. When they said, prophesy who it is that struck thee or who did this, he could have said, man, it's Tom, it's Dick, it's Harry. He could have named them one right after another. You know what that would have been? That would have been his pride that would have caused him to do that. And he was not proud. He humbled himself. So that's what we've got to consider. When you're thinking about your lot in life, think about the Savior and what He did for you. What He did for me. What a gracious and loving and merciful God. Anytime you get down on life, you ought to consider Him. That's what it says, doesn't it? Consider Jesus there in Hebrews. Consider Him. But we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. Consider Him. Consider Him. Go on back to Psalm 8 and let's finish it up. Psalm 8, I told you this morning that verses 1 and 9 are the same. O Lord, our Lord, verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. I have all these verses on the name of Jesus. I'm not going to go over them tonight. It'd still be another 20, 30, 40 minutes to do it. But I want to leave you with that thought, that name. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That name. I remember in Acts, they told him, they said, you can do anything. We're going to let you out of jail, but what we command you to do is don't speak in that name. You know what the world says? You can pray in any name, but don't pray in the name of Jesus. You could get up there and say, amen and a woman. And they'll go, wow, wow. Wasn't that all inclusive? Wasn't that all stupid? That's as crazy. Amen does not mean the male person. Amen and a woman. Yep. Listen, I want to follow the science. Let's follow the science. God created male and female, and that never do the two become changed. I mean, these guys are so crazy. You know, Title IX is for women's sports. There are men that are winning in women's sports because they're identifying as a woman. I think I'm going to identify as the president one day. And I'm going to go to Washington. I'm going to say, whoa, whoa. I'm identifying as the president. You got to let me in the White House. And Mr. Biden, I don't believe you're identifying as the president anymore. Nor did you ever. But here I am. Let me in. I mean, listen, it's an insane asylum run by the inmates right now. And has been for a long time. The point we need to realize is keep your focus on Jesus Christ. You cannot you cannot let this world get to you. I don't see any news. You guys know that. I mean, I read. So I'll read and I'll get enough that I know what's going on. But if you saturate your brain with what they're pumping in there, and if you think Fox News is the answer, it's not F-O-X, it's F-A-U-X, Fox. That's what it is. It gives you the semblance that you have somebody fighting for your side. Have you ever watched some of the things? And listen, I watched it enough to know. And I saw them where they would come out and they would say, you know, that you'd think, well, no, you're supposed to be on this side. And they would just put that leaven in there. And it leavened the whole lump. Do not think you can trust anybody in the media. I don't care if it's Fox or not. They are not on your side. Now, there's some alternatives, and I suggest you start looking into those. I personally watched ABC and CBS and that. I would record that every night and watch that news. Why? Because I wanted to watch people and know why this country, at least half of it or thereabouts, were taking these lies hook, line, and sinker. And if you watch that for a little while, now it's going to make you mad. You're going to get upset about it, but Fox News makes you mad too. You just can't do anything either way. You ought to see, if you want to watch something, watch that other one so you can see how they're lying to you. And you can watch somebody lying to you with a straight face telling you it's the news when it's just propaganda. Watch them. You'll learn a lot from it. I study, like when I wrote this last book and when I wrote all the prophecy books, I read that those things I disagreed with, not the things I agreed with. Because I wanted to know where I was weak. I wanted to know what their argument was. And that's how you do that. Now, I don't suggest that for anybody else, but I'm just telling you that's what I did. Because I wanted to know, am I right? What is their argument? Do they have a position? Are they right or wrong? And sometimes you'll tweak your position because you realize they have something they're standing on. What I learned was how to base my argument based on their argument. So, again, Psalm 8, how excellent is thy name. Keep that in mind. Let's all stand together. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we thank you for the excellent name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And Lord, we need to keep focused on Thee. I pray for every person that can hear me right now, Lord, that You will help each one of us to stay focused on Thee and Thee alone. When the world gets disgusting as it is, when the world gets discouraging as it is, help us to focus more and more on Thee. Help us to draw nigh unto Thee, and You'll draw nigh unto us. God, we need this in a very big way. In Jesus' name and for His sake. With your head bowed and eyes closed, the music plays. Again, the altar is open for you. If God's spoken to you in some way.